It's game day. And this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic host Ross County, where they'll look to extend their lead at the top of the table, with Rangers and Aberdeen not in action until tomorrow. Motherwell host Hibs at Fir Park. St Mirren travel to face Dundee United. It's Kilmarnock against Dundee, and a big day in the Scottish Cup as well. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
There are two stats concerning the Celtic game that would worry you if you were a pessimist and encourage you if you were an optimist. Celtic haven't lost a game at home this season, and Ross County haven't won a league game away from home for 1 year and 3 months. Is life that simple for Brendan Rodgers' side this afternoon? Nothing is simple for Hibs, being bottom of the table, but they could have the satisfaction of putting Hearts in their place at the foot of the Premiership if they beat or draw with Motherwell at Fir Park. The trouble for Hibs is they're hopeless. Not a word that you could use to describe Rangers' performance on Thursday night against Nice. And now they have to bear in mind that this is the league coming up, and that's not their strong point, because if Celtic win today, Celtic go 14 points ahead of Rangers. And then it's Rangers against St Johnstone in Perth tomorrow, Super Sunday. A ding dong, merrily on high.
Yeah, interesting how the fixtures are spread across the weekend, because Celtic won today, they go 5 clear of Aberdeen, and then it's a different pressure on Aberdeen tomorrow when they go to Tynecastle and they get a wee glimpse of what it's like, that Sunday feeling when your rivals or whoever you're going up against at the top of the table stretch your legs and you have to keep up with them. So never mind Rangers, Hugh, it's Aberdeen we were all talking about, keeping in touch with Celtic. So that's going to be interesting. But Hugh's right then to mention Rangers. Is that a result that is going to kickstart the season? We've been here before in Europe where they get a positive result but come back and they're a bit flat. I think you can pick better places to go to than McDermott Park. It's always difficult, but couple of good fixtures and movement all over the league from 4th down to 10th. Things could change an awful lot today.
Yeah, I agree with the lads. I look back in the midweek, I thought the Celtic was a good point. I was very impressed with them. I thought they came at Celtic Park and were excellent. Celtic weren't at their best, but it's a point put them firmly in the driving seat. Terrific performance result from Rangers the following night. Back to league business, looking forward to it. And my favourite time, Scottish Cup third round, and I will give you my big upset at 5-3.
Okay, we'll see if it's as good as the rest of your predictions or
this
not.
This is a one.
He is good at them, by the way.
Scottish Cup comes alive. For a guy who managed to semi-finals and everything, beat the big guys all the way there, I know my stuff when it comes to Scottish Cup.
He classes semi-finals like he's won it. Semi-finals isn't he winning it?
Hold on a minute. I was with a domestic club, the sixth round or something like that.
That's
No. I got to finals and everything.
So the league cup final.
But I know the cups. I know what it takes.
Right, when I get your predictions, I'll get the Premiership predictions and I'll get one Scottish Cup upset from all three of you as well. We will keep you up to date with those four Premiership games and, of course, plenty of fixtures in the third round of the Scottish Cup. Let's go around the ground, shall we? Let's get some team news, starting with Celtic against Ross County, Celtic Park. It is Gabriel Antoniazzi there for us.
Yes, Andrew, as the boys in the studio were saying, it's a different type of game for Celtic today. The first time this season that they can extend their lead at the top of the table to 5 points. Of course, rival titles Aberdeen and Rangers both playing tomorrow. Well, Brendan Rodgers has rung the changes from Wednesday night's 1-1 draw with Bruges in the Champions League. 6 in total throughout the team. 2 at the back, 2 in the middle and 2 up top. Trusty, Taylor, Engels, Hatate, Kun and Kyogo all drop down to the bench. In come Scales, Baye, Bernardo, McCowan, Forrest and Ida. So the team is as follows. Kasper Schmeichel in goal. Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales and Alex Baye at the back. Callum McGregor starts in midfield alongside Paolo Bernardo and Luke McCowan. James Forrest, Adam Ida and Dazen Maeda are the front three. The substitutes are Sinisalo, Taylor, Trusty, Kyogo, Yang, Kun, Engels, Hatate and Rowson. So really strong bench for Celtic today if they do require it. Of course, the visitors are Ross County. They arrive here on the back of last week's 2-1 win over Motherwell. Don Cowan makes just two changes from that 11. Lopata and Randall miss out altogether. In come Telfer and Campbell. Looks like it'll probably be a 3 or a 5 at the back formation. Ross Laidlaw in goal. Akil Wright, Ellie Campbell and Ryan Leake in defence. James Brown and George Harmon as the wing-backs, with Charlie Telfer, Joshua Nisbet and Noah Chilvers in the middle. Jordan White and Ronan Hale are the two up top. Substitutes: Hamilton, Allardyce, Latoury, Sheaf, Greaves, Ifete, Samuel, Brophy and Reid.
Hugh, you predicted, was it 8 changes? Or you suggested that Brendan Rodgers should make 8 changes?
Yes.
Not as many as that, but still a good few.
He kept Carlton Vickers in, I had him out. He has got my midfield, and he has my front three, with the exception of Forrest Ida. I had Maeda out. I had Louis Palmer in place of Maeda. But as I say, it's Celtic at home. The incentive, and I do understand that when you're being pragmatic, you look at the team who are second in the league, and that's Aberdeen. And Mark's quite right to point out that it could be a 5-point lead over Aberdeen. However, this is the West of Scotland. If Celtic win today, they're 14 points ahead of Rangers. That's what really concerns people.
Yeah, you look at that Celtic team, it was only going to be a matter of time before Brendan Rodgers really started to, you know, having to really use his squad, because there are so many games coming up. He's been pretty consistent in his team selection over the course of this season, but is this maybe a sign of things to come over the next few weeks?
I would think so, and that's why you compile such a large squad, or Celtic have got that luxury that they can afford such a large squad full of international players. If you aren't going to use them in games like today, then when are you going to use them? Because it takes a lot out the legs, that sort of intensity and pace that you play at midweek. But you're right, Andrew, when you get to November, December, you've got to start rotating. And look at the qualities bring in. You say rotating, Skills has played a lot of football, so it's no big shock he's in. Valley, I expected him to be in today. I thought he was impressive when he came on, and he's shown some good signs so far. Your midfield, you could play any of those midfields domestically, and I think you'd get similar results. But Bernardo certainly deserves his chance. Looking forward to seeing Luke McCown, how he takes to it, a start at Celtic Park. And then your front three, yeah, I mean, pick anyone you like, it still carries a threat. So when you're playing against Ross County, I'm looking at the stats just now, they've conceded, what, 22 goals this season, sitting round about the mid-table. I don't think you'd have any worries with that starting 11 that Brendan Rodgers has picked.
Yeah, rotating doesn't always mean you're weakening the side. You look at some of those players, some of them are players that fans have been calling to get more game time. Alex Valle, Luke McCown, Paulo Bernardo, supporters want to see these players on the pitch, and they'll get the opportunity
today.
Yeah,
and for Brendan Rodgers, it's freshness as well. It's guys that's given an opportunity, knowing that there's a bit of pressure on these lads because they are desperate to be starting every week. We see what Celtic's probably strongest 11 was the other night there. Bernardo must feel really unlucky. He's in against quality players, and he's a quality player himself. So I think Mark's right. I think it's a great opportunity. I think it still looks very strong, and if these guys play this afternoon, it should be a comfortable 3 points for them.
They have a murderous schedule, let's be honest. You know, they have Ross County today, Wednesday night, Pittodrie. What a game that will be. And they've still got to go to Croatia to play Dinamo Zagreb in the Europa League, and then there's the cup final on December the 15th. All of this is happening in a 2 week period, so he's got to do what he's doing today, and bringing in players and utilising that squad. You don't spend millions and millions on assembling it not to utilise it.
Well, that's the team news from Celtic Park. Three more big games in the Premiership. Let's go to Fir Park. Motherwell against Hibs. David Friel is there.
Yeah, Andrew, a big game for Motherwell actually, who could move within a point of third place Rangers with a win today. But as you alluded to, let's be honest, most of the focus will be on the Hibs dugout. As David Gray continues to fight for his job, Hugh says Hibs are hopeless. It's hard to argue when you look at the stats. They're 9 games without a win. They have 1 win in the last 15, and they are rock bottom of the table, albeit they are level on 9 points with Hearts. They've also won just 1 away league game in the last 12 months, so I'm not sure the Hibs fans who arrive here will be holding out much hope today. As neutrals, I think we'd all welcome the drama of Hibs 3-3 midweek draw with Aberdeen. What a game it was. 3 injury time goals, Rocky Bashiri grabbing a last gasp equaliser for Hibs. However, I think David Gray would take any kind of boring win today, as he's bidden to stop the rot and give himself some breathing space. To fair to the Hibs board, they have backed him publicly. They aren't in the mood for a change just yet, but you do wonder how long that can go on. I think this run of form needs to end soon, and David Green knows that. He hasn't shied away from it. They're only 14 games in, but Hibs are clearly in a relegation battle already. They do have 4 draws in the last 6 league games. David Gray's clinging on to any positives. He'll probably view that as a sign that they do have a bit of spirit, but they badly need to get wins on the board. And as I was saying earlier, if they do get anything here at all, they would put Hearts bottom, so that would be a slight positive for them. As for Motherwell, they start the day in 5th. They could finish the day in 4th if they win, and Dundee United drop at anything at all. They won 2-1 against Hibs at Easter Road in October. Got a decent record against them recently. Andy Halliday grabbed the winner that day, and there's plenty of incentive for them here today as well. A win would put them 13 points clear of Hibs, with 2 games in hand, which is quite remarkable, I think, when you compare the budgets and the expectations of both clubs. So huge game for both clubs today. Let's see how it goes. Motherwell, Stuart Kettlewell's made 2 changes from defeat to Ross County, really disappointing performance and result. Davor Stavkovsky, he's in for Steve Seddon, and Tom Sparrow is out injured, so Tawanda Maswanisi comes in. It looks like a 3-4-2-1 usual formation for Motherwell. Aston Oxborough in goals, Kofi Bama, Liam Gordon and Dan Casey at the back, Marvin Coletta, Davor, Andy Halliday and Ewan Wilson across the middle, with Lennon Miller and Maswanisi in behind Apostolos Stamatopoulos. Subs for Motherwell are Heggie, Seddon, Robinson, Payton, Blaney, Koutroumbis, Ibeye, Gillis and Watt. As for Hibs, he has kept faith, David Gray, with the keeper Jordan Smith, despite his nightmare against Aberdeen in midweek. Actually thought he was culpable for, well, definitely 2, maybe 3. It's a major surprise. I wonder if Bursic would come back in, but he's not. Jordan Smith does start again. Chris Cadden against his former club also replaces Lewis Miller in the only change. So it looks like a kind of similar 3-4-2-1 formation. Jordan Smith in goals, 3 central defenders, Warner Horror, Rocky Bashiri and Jack Iredale. Chris Cadden, Nectar Triantis, Joe Newell and Nicky Cadden across the middle, with Eli Yuan and Junior Hoylett supporting Mikola Kuharevich. Subs for Hibs are Bursic, Miller, Levitt, Doyle Hayes, Kwon, Campbell, Gale, Boyle and Molotnikov. The referee at Fir Park is Grant Irvin, and the VAR is Andrew Dallas.
Kind of seems at the moment that every game is bigger than the last for David Gray.
Yeah, the calls he makes now will decide his fate, because as David Friel rightly says, it can't go on this way. You know, not to have won any of their last 9, a goal difference of minus 10, and then you understand why, because in Jordan Smith they have a goalkeeper who couldn't keep pigeons out of a loft, so they are going to have to go with him today though, and those are the calls that will decide David Gray's fate. I'm not sure he's picked the right goalkeeper, I'm not sure he's picked the right team, and I'm not sure he'll get anything today.
But he had to change a goalkeeper. They've had a disastrous season with goalkeeping. I think I'm right in saying that they've written to the Scottish SPFL to see if they can save, bring in a new rule, just to see if they can keep a clean sheet. They're terrible at the back. They just give away goals for fun. And if you keep doing that, then you're going to be relegated. You can't say that Hibs are too good to go down. We're saying it week in, week out. They celebrated like a victory the other night there, and I can understand why, because you can say all the positives about they come back and showed great character, never gave up. It's a difficult one at Fir Park today, but you can't keep losing. And I do believe, and as much as we are critical of players, when they get to the January track, they have got to go and get a goalkeeper. They've got to, or they will be relegated.
Will that be a positive for David Gray, that when teams are down at the bottom, fighting for their life, sometimes teams maybe look as if they don't have it in them, whereas on Tuesday night against Aberdeen, yes, they conceded late, but to then go again and score, is that a sign of life?
Well, depends what way. He'll obviously be looking at it like that, and he'll obviously be saying the right things in the media, and he'll say it to his players. But deep down, if you're having to score 4 goals at home to win games, then you have got big issues, and Hibs have got big issues. Day one of the season, I think it was away to St Mirren, defending, calamities, mistakes everywhere. People look like they weren't really, you know, busting a gut to get back. And you think maybe that's a one off. It has followed them throughout the season. Individual errors in almost every game, and those individuals will cost you your job. That's what's happening to David Gray. He might have the best tactical brain in the world, he might have all the correct principles, but if you keep picking these players who keep making these mistakes that lead to goals, that leads to you losing your job. So a huge one for them today. This is the 15th game of the season. They've only won once. That tells a story.
A familiar meeting at Rugby Park, Kilmarnock against Dundee. Roger Hannah.
It certainly is, Andrew. Quite remarkably, it's the third meeting of these teams in just 8 weeks, and the first two games they've given us such entertainment. Killy were 2-0 down at Dens after 86 minutes, somehow won the game 3-2, and then Dundee come back from 2-0 down to snatch a last gasp 3-2 win in the second meeting also at Dens. Amazingly, both these teams have scored, each of them have scored in 12 of the last 13 meetings, so we can expect goals at Rugby Park this afternoon. Dundee still buzzing after that 4-1 win against Hibs last week. Killy hurting after a 1-0 defeat at St Johnstone, a sixth red card of the season. Liam Donnelly now facing a second ban. And when you add that to Stuart Finlay having surgery and been out until March, a few problems for Derek McInnes. McInnes, of course, and Tony Docker, the old pals, they'll be expecting another close contest today. A home win would see Kilmarnock join Dundee on 15 points. But Dundee know that a victory and a favour from their city rivals United against St Mirren this afternoon could see them into the top six tonight. Tony Docker, he's got selection problems as well. He's only got seven in the bench because of injuries. Added Sean Kelly, once of Livingston and St Mirren. He's signed as a free agent this week and is on the bench. I'll give you the team lines. Kilmarnock make three changes from that defeat in Perth. And I've said expect goals. I think with this Kilmarnock lineup, you can expect goals. In come Gary Mackay-Stephen, Fraser Murray and Bruce Anderson. Out go the suspended Donnelly, along with David Watson and Danny Armstrong, who go to the bench. So it's Robbie McCrory in goal. It's a back three: Joe Wright, Lewis Mayo and Robbie Dees. Across the middle, Gary Mackay-Stephen, Brad Lyons, Fraser Murray and Corey Ndaba. And then a front three. It'll be interesting to see how they line up, Andrew, whether someone drops off, whether two push out wide. But it's a front three of Bruce Anderson, Marley Watkins and the skipper, Kyle Vassell on the bench, O'Hara, Burrows and McKenzie, Armstrong, Watson and Cameron, Wales, Polworth and Bainbridge. Did these two changes after that win against Hibs, they're both enforced, they're both because of injury. Trevor Carson, the goalkeeper, and Clark Robertson, the centre-back, who went off injured early in that win last week, both miss out. Back come John McCracken and Ryan Ashley. So it's McCracken in goals, a back three: Antonio Partales, Billy Kumetia and Ryan Ashley. Across the middle, Josh Mulligan, Mo Salah, Jordan McGee and Finn Robertson. And then Lyle Cameron tucked in behind a front two of Seb Palmer, Holden and the skipper Simon Murray. On the bench, Sharp, Ingram, Tiffany, Adewumi, Kelly, Braybrook and Vetro. The referee is Ross Hardy. The VAR at Rugby Park's a pal of the Dazzlers. It's Andrew Dallas.
One thing we know about this fixture is that there always tends to be goals. Both games this season have been 3-2. There was, what was it, 3-2 all draws last season. And Kilmarnock certainly sound as if they're going for it.
Well, I'm amazed at that, the amount of attacking players Derek McInnes has put on the pitch. We always kind of think about Derek McInnes's Kilmarnock teams as hard to play against, robust, with a wee bit of flair at the top end. But how many attacking players are that? Five maybe, yeah. And that front,
they need pick up points, man.
That, yeah.
You know, you look at the league table, and that was one that tipped Kilmarnock to have another terrific season. But they're sitting 10th. I know it's still early. I know there's still that sort of touching 6 points between them and St Mirren in six, which is not a lot. But you've got to keep picking up points. I'm delighted. If I was a Kilmarnock supporter and I was listening to that team going along to Rugby Park today at home against Dundee, a game that you're capable of winning, and we're going all out attack, I'd be happy with
those
that.
Those are my kind of tactics. Never mind who plays where. Just get Marley Watkins, Kyle Vassell and Bruce Anderson there up front. The referee won't blow his whistle to start this. There'll just be a man in the stand going.
One thing Kilmarnock need to do is keep 11 players on the pitch.
Yeah, oh, without doubt. I mean, it's been a horror story. I've never known a season like it for a team and individuals within that team receiving multiple red cards. Derek's incredibly frustrated and he could do with all 11 on today, but I think you're guaranteed goals in that game going with history and the amount of attacking players on
the
pitch.
Are you guaranteed another red card?
Yeah.
Surely not. Surely not another red card.
They've had five this season.
I'm going for it, Hugh.
Another red.
Yeah, I think there'll be a red somewhere.
There's only so much a manager can do, surely, to try and combat that. Derek McInnes has tried this season. He's been, what was it, fining players in training for pulling shirts and all sorts. It's just not working.
Maybe highlighting it too much. And I don't know if it's affecting the players on the pitch, because you can do that. There's no doubt you can stand in training, make up all these rules, highlight everything, right? You're getting fined, or you're going to not get a day off. We've seen all the punishment, being involved in it. Sometimes you can just go overboard with it.
One final game in the Premiership at Tannadice, Dundee United against St Mirren. Dave Galloway's there.
Both sides go into this one full of confidence after very good results last weekend, Andrew. Dundee United in their first season back in the top flight sit fourth and got a hard-fought draw away to Rangers. That was preceded by victory over Ross County. And with two home games in a row, including today's, they'll be looking for maximum points. St Mirren have hit some form after an inconsistent start to the campaign. Back-to-back wins for them, including the ending of Aberdeen's long unbeaten run 7 days ago. And they've picked up 10 points from the last 12 available. Both meetings between them this season have been close with just one goal in it. And Dundee United make just the one change. It's Adegboyega coming into the side in place of Fotheringham. So they will line up with Jack Walton in goals. It's a back three of Emmanuel Adegboyega, Declan Gallagher and Kevin Holt. Midfield, Ryan Strain, Vichko Sivelge, Lucas Stevenson and Will Ferry. Up top, Sam Dalby is helped by David Babunski and Glenn Middleton. The subs for United: Richards, Graham, Molt, Odada, Fotheringham, Van der Sande, Thompson, Sturton and Meshack. St Mirren, not a huge surprise, they are unchanged. So it's Ellery Balcom in between the sticks. A back three of Marcus Fraser, Alex Gogic and Richard Taylor. Midfield, Evis Buomono, Killian Phillips, Mark O'Hara and Scott Tanzer. Up top, Toyosi Olosanya, supported by Conor McMenamin and Greg Kilty. The subs are Minsky, Kenny, John, Smith, Boyd Munts, Idowu, Mooney, Ayunga and Mandron. Match referee here at Tannadice is Matthew McDermott, and on VAR duties it's Nick Walsh.
Yeah, two teams that I think will be feeling pretty good about themselves at the moment.
Well, you know, Dundee United getting that point at Ibrox last Saturday after a horrendous bus journey and all of the other problems that come with that, players cramping up long before the end of the game. So they're at home, they'll have had a proper preparation, but it's a good St Mirren side who beat Aberdeen and destroyed Jimmy Thielen's undefeated record last weekend. So Dave's got a good match in prospect there.
Let's put it into perspective as well. Dundee United could go level in points with Rangers, and if results go really their way or the scoreline goes their way, they could go above them. That's quite extraordinary at this time of the season. So don't know what it tells you. Dundee United have been good, Rangers have been that poor, but I think Jim will be happy with how things are ticking along, especially after last week's performance.
Well, that is the team news from the four Premiership games. The next part will bring all the guys in and talk about the biggest talking points of the week.
Action as it happens, and your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Big day of Premiership and Scottish Cup third round action across Scotland. We will bring you it all today, and of course some big games tomorrow as well. But this is the part of the show where we look back on the biggest talking points of the week. I think it's probably only right that we look back on the European results. Another big week of European action. Mixed results, you would say, for the three in action.
And mixed emotions if you do them in chronological order. Celtic didn't play well against Club Bruges, but they had the determination about them to come back from an awful own goal and get the equaliser through Daizen Maeda. A point. They are still on course for the next phase of the competition. For me, there is nothing you can say to take away from Rangers' result and performance against Nice on the Côte d'Azur, because Scottish club goes to play club from France, high in League One in France, and takes four goals off them, and Nice got off lightly. So I know we can go on all day about their deficiencies, and they were many and very obvious, but Scottish club goes abroad, scores four goals, give them a break. As for Hearts, the game against Cercle Bruges summed up their season. One down, get a penalty, last season's top goal scorer shells the ball over the bar. The crowd turn on Loris Shankland, which I think was shameful on the part of the Hearts supporters. The only reason they were in Belgium to play in a European tie was because of Loris Shankland. But they've clearly decided his heart, no pun intended, is not in the club anymore, and he's getting it tight from the fans. So mixed results, mixed emotions, one draw, one win, one defeat. But so far as Celtic and Rangers are concerned, indeed Hearts as well, they can look forward to a place in the next phase.
Yeah, if we go through them in chronological order and start with Celtic, David Friel, not their best performance of the season, but would it be a positive that they still managed to come away with a point and are still on track?
Yeah, Andrew, 100%. Listen, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but I think I certainly underestimated Bruges a bit. It's not until you kind of have a kind of closer look at their backstory, their Champions League regulars. They got to the semi-final, the Conference League last year. They're a good team, and I felt they showed that, especially in the first half. Kept Celtic Park really quiet, played some good football. I was actually more impressed with them than I was RB Leipzig, which I didn't expect to be saying after 45 minutes. And I think, as you kind of alluded to there, Andrew, I think this is a game Celtic would maybe have lost in previous years. You know, there's been a few examples of that, probably under Ange Postecoglou and Brendan Rodgers last year, where Celtic just let games get away from them. And this time they managed to dig in, they kept it together. It wasn't a vintage performance, but they somehow found a way to get a point. I think in the end it was deserved. They could have maybe stole it at the end. I don't think that would have been deserved, but it's a good point and a vital point, because I think if you look at the standings just now, Celtic sitting 20th in the Champions League phase. And Bruges are one of the direct rivals now for a knockout place, and it kept Celtic ahead of them in the standings. So I think over the next few games, I know Bruges have got some tough ones coming up. I think, you know, a month or two down the line, that could be looked upon as a very, very vital point for Celtic in terms of their hopes to get to the playoff.
It's unavoidable. You have to talk about it after that game. Cameron Carter-Vickers' own goal is the type of thing you don't see very often, but he seems like the type of character that it wouldn't really affect him too much. He played well for the rest of the game and back in again today, and you'd expect that there won't be any effects.
Look, it's a mistake. It's the way Celtic want to play, but I give credit to Bruges. I thought that they went there with a game plan and they worked it brilliantly. When have you ever seen a night in Europe with somebody like McGregor being so quiet, you know, the midfield of Celtic being so quiet? They went man for man. Their discipline was brilliant. They stopped all the space. They stopped Celtic playing that fast flowing football that we know they can play, especially in a night like that. I'll be honest, I thought it was a great point for Celtic. I thought the substitution, Brendan Rodgers, made a big difference. Celtic second half looked a bit better. They got a great equaliser, terrific goal. But if you look at it overall, it's a great point in the sense that keeps them firmly in there. They've got young boys that I think everybody's expecting that. That's a banker. There's still two away games. They're capable of picking up points. So as much you're disappointed, because you're right, everything will depend on our home form, I thought that was a very good point considering everything. And I totally agree with Dave Friel. I think a lot of us didn't know Bruges was as good as what they were.
I think it gives you a glimpse, and for the supporters going along Celtic Park, what happens at the elite level. You know, look, Bratislava and maybe Young Boys will be a bit different, but when you come up against clubs like Bruges, who haven't got household names in every position, maybe can get a bit complacent. But when you've got, they're still a top team with a good manager, and they've done their homework, and they obviously watched how Celtic played against Leipzig, and they worked things out quickly on the pitch. And I thought Celtic struggled with working Bruges out then quickly. I think Brendan Rodgers took to half time to obviously get his players in the dressing room and change a few things that then resulted in a better performance and they got the goal. But that's the elite level. That's what Celtic are up against. That's why these games are so difficult. It's not about your stars, your well-renowned names. It's about the teams you're coming up against and how clever they are now to work you out and come up with a different game plan that makes it difficult for you.
In the case of Rangers, Roger Hanna, they continue to confuse us when it goes from European to domestic form.
Very much so, Andrew. They are the original Scottish football enigma. They were superb. Listen, as you said, you cannot take anything away from them, that performance. Any Scottish team that goes to a side fifth in League One in France, a side that hadn't lost at home in any competition this season, and as you said, it was four going on anything you like. You think of the chances. Mastiga Mane missed that chance at 0-0. Dessers, wow, what a sitter late on in the game. Even Ridvan Yilmaz, when he came on, missed a sitter. It could have been 7 or 8 for Rangers. They were absolutely terrific. Therefore, I expect them to revert to type at Perth tomorrow.
It's just such a strange thing, isn't it? That I think with a lot of clubs, if they weren't going through a great spell and then had a result like that, you'd think, is that the springboard? You know, it all change on Sunday? I'm not sure anyone is expecting Rangers to go to Perth and put in that type of performance, just based on the heaps of evidence we've got.
I was on Super Scoreboard last night with Scott Allen, and I was taken aback by the reaction of the Rangers supporters. One caller actually said, bad result for Rangers, because it keeps Clement in a job. Now, that is the way some Rangers fans, and we can only judge on what the fans who call this programme tell us, but that's the way some Rangers fans feel, that they dismissed 4-1 against Nice in France because it kept Philippe Clement in a job. If they do revert to type, as Roger said, in Perth tomorrow, you can only imagine what the backlash will be like.
What will the backlash be like if Cyril Dessers starts ahead of Hamza Egemani tomorrow?
Be a strange one, eh? Because Egemani obviously does well. He looks a handful up there. Looks like he's got a trick and a flick in him, but obviously scores a couple of goals. And if Dessers comes back in, which you wouldn't be surprised at, would you? I think the fans will be scratching their head. Will they be surprised? I don't think they will be surprised, just because of the inconsistencies throughout the season with Rangers and team selection. I mean, Egemani, for instance, on Thursday night, could any of us said that he was going to start that game until the team came out? I don't think many of us would have betted on that. So it's a strange one. You never know what Rangers team's going to line up. But that goes with their form as well, because if you keep chopping change in every position, you're not going to get a consistent run of results.
The big problem with the team lineup, he seems to listen to sports science quite a lot. Egemani put in a good shift the other night there and was excellent, I've got to say. I totally agree. You were thinking, okay, he's got to play, he's got to be a starter. I think we'd all agree on that. But I just think this manager thinks differently. That's just the way he is. But someone has got to tell me, what is Cyril Dessers doing to me? I've tipped him top goal scorer. How do you miss that, Dessers? Come on.
If you're going by league goals, he's only one goal behind.
I was talking overall. I've got to say, I've seen sitters. I think he now takes the trophy from me. I missed the worst one ever recorded in Rangers history, and I'm glad that Dessers took that off me on Thursday night.
It's an issue. It's never going to go away for Dessers, because if he's on the bench and he comes on and he gets an opportunity, he misses, it's another one to his collection. And even if he does end up at the top end of the scoring charts at the end of the season, and that's a big if, people are always going to say, well, what about all the ones he missed? And how far could he have been ahead? It's an unfortunate position a striker like him finds himself in. But if you're Philippe Clement, I get what Dad says, because Clement does reference sports science a lot. But surely you've got to start thinking about results in your own job and who you play, rather than protect players.
He said last weekend he'd run out of credit after the home draw with Dundee United. Well, if anything goes wrong in Perth tomorrow, it's bankruptcy.
See, just quickly on that, Hugh, just quickly, what we're forgetting is the fact that Danilo came on last week against Dundee United, and everybody was talking very highly of him. Obviously, he's not in the European squad. So Dessers might just find himself further down the pecking order here. It'll be interesting to see his team tomorrow.
Yeah, we will focus a bit more on that game later, but of course we have four big games in the Premiership. 3 o'clock kickoffs. We will go back around the grounds next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Around 15 minutes to go until kick-off in the four Premiership matches we've got today, and of course the Scottish Cup third round. Plenty of good fixtures that we'll keep you up to date with. Let's go back around the grounds and preview those Premiership matches, starting with Motherwell against Hibs. David Friel, another huge match for David Gray.
Yeah, he just has to start winning, Andrew. It's as simple as that. As we spoke earlier, the stats are terrible. 14 games in the league, only scored 15 goals, which is remarkable. And it looks now as if he's trying. When we speak about the goalkeeping situation and changing, you know, putting Jordan Smith in, taking Joseph Bussick out, but even up front, you know, for how many years has Martin Boyle been Hibs' talisman? And then you look during the week, he gets 6 minutes against Aberdeen. I think the game before that, he only get 23 minutes. I was actually speaking to a couple of people here, just asking, you know, what's the script with Martin Boyle? And it's basically just form. It's just a lack of form. He is still Hibs' top goal scorer in all competitions with 5. But he finds himself on the bench again today, and I think David Gray is just struggling to find a formula at both ends of the pitch. They concede goals far too easily, they don't score enough goals. This is a really, really difficult game for him, and as we spoke about, I just don't know how long the Hibs board can really let this go on if he doesn't start winning games. You know, they did the public vote of confidence, which I was quite surprised about at the time. I thought his time was up then. But again, you know, that's a couple of games down the line now, still no wins. If he doesn't get a win today, I think the pressure just cranks up a notch again today in David Gray. He just has to keep winning, it's really start winning games.
Yeah, it's just a strange situation Hibs find themselves in. Obviously can't be nice for David Gray himself. He knows that the pressure is building, but as David says, it's as simple as that. The longer Hibs go without winning a game, the more in danger he'll be of losing his job.
I wonder how much the Gordon family are caring about Hibs. The decision to buy Hibs was taken by the father, who has sadly now passed away. Do the family still have the same commitment to Hibs? Bill Foley put in £6 million, the owner of Bournemouth. He did not want David Gray to be manager. He did not want Malky Mackay to be the CEO. How long before they start exerting an influence? Might there even be an attempt to take over Hibs? But the bottom line is that if things remain as they are, Hibs are going to go down unless they get a goalkeeper, unless the manager can get more out of the players, unless there is a return to form by Martin Boyle, which puts him in the team, gets goals. But at the moment, they are directionless.
Yeah, the goalkeeping situation is a tough one because Bursic was in goal for so long. I think people were wondering why he was getting so much game time after the mistakes he's made. David Gray's made the change in goal. Mm. It hasn't really changed their fortunes at all.
Well, that's a problem when you're a manager. You make that change, a big decision. You're hoping it pays off. He didn't have the greatest of games, I've got to say, against Aberdeen. And if you're in that back four, five, excuse me, whatever Aberdeen, whatever Hibs play, you'll be absolutely no confidence. A goalkeeper is so important to you. If you look at good teams, teams that are up there successful, you'll look at the goalkeeper, the amount of points it saves them, save the team over a season. And especially if you make a mistake at the back, which Hibs are liable to do, and they'll probably do this afternoon again. I think it's a big two games. I agree with the lads. David Gray, to me, comes out and speaks brilliantly for me. You know, he doesn't try to shy away from it. He says it as it is. He's one of these Hibs legends, but the goodwill eventually runs out. He plays Motherwell today, and if he didn't get in at Motherwell, his next game's Celtic at Celtic Park. So all of a sudden, we'll be sitting here going, oh, he can't keep losing games. He can't keep losing games. I think that if it wasn't for the fact of David Gray and his reputation round about Hibs and what he meant to Hibs, I don't think he'd been a job just legendary, now. So he has to work. Has to win.
Legendary status means nothing. The statue outside Celtic Park of Billy McNeil, the greatest captain they ever had, Celtic sacked him as manager twice. There's a statue outside Ibrox of John Gregg. Rangers sacked him because he wasn't getting results.
It carries you slightly, Hugh. I've been in the position. It carries you slightly, and then eventually when the fans have had enough, you're right, it goes away. That memory of the cup final and that fantastic day for them, he made Hibs fans so. You look at just now, and I think it's an absolute disgrace, right? For Hearts fans to boo Lauren Shanklin, to me, is disgraceful, right? And I know that people will shout, well, I paid my money, I went, you paid a lot of money to go abroad and watch them. Lauren Shanklin was magnificent for Hearts. He's went off for them. Players can do that. And all of a sudden, a guy who probably got them to Europe is getting booed. Clubs amaze me. Me personally now, I agree with every player that goes and makes as much money as he can and has no loyalty to clubs, because if you ain't doing it, clubs ain't got loyalty to you.
Roger Hanna, another meeting between Kilmarnock and Dundee, two managers who, of course, know each other very well, don't seem to have really figured each other out yet, though.
Yeah, you quite often get that. Got Andrew, the two of these guys here, Derek McInnes and Tony Docherty, they know each other so well. You would think they would cancel each other out, and it's quite the opposite. The goals have flowed in these games. As the boys were saying, top of the show, a lot of 2-2s last season, and it's got better this season. 3-2 Kilmarnock first time round, 3-2 Dundee second time round. And you look at the lineups, as I said, when we read the teams out earlier on, they both look as if they've almost given up on defending in these fixtures. They're just going to try and outscore each other. The front three for Kelly today, I was actually asking one of the Kelly staff how they thought this was going to line up. Kyle Vassell, Marley Watkins, and the recalled Bruce Anderson, and nobody seems to know. So it looks like a three-pronged attack. At the other end, Simon Murray, who's always good for a goal, for Dundee up front, along with Seb Palmer-Holden, who's really impressed since he came up here in these loan spells, I think, from Bristol City. And then Lyle Cameron, the player who I really like. He's in an advanced role, he's in a number 10 role, tucked in behind the two front men today. They will be really brimming full of confidence after scoring four last week. And it's a type of fixture, even though it's the third time they've met in 8 weeks, I don't think familiarity between these two is breeding anything other than a keen sense of anticipation.
Yeah, it's just a strange quirk of the fixture schedule that they're playing each other for a third time. It's not even December. Kilmarnock haven't played Motherwell in the league yet, but are playing Dundee for a third time. But I think if there's any fixture that we would want to see being played quite frequently, this is probably high on the list.
Yeah, it's been good, hasn't it, for the last couple of seasons. Obviously Tony Docherty leaving Derek McInnes after that long term partnership, and it's served up goals and entertainment. And a couple of weeks ago, it seems last minute goals up there, Dundee firmly ahead, then 3-2, and then the opposite result as well. So guaranteed goals here today, especially like we said at the start, with a front three. And Gary Mackay-Stephen, is he going to play as a left wing back? Because I think that's going to be dangerous for Kilmarnock. But plenty of attacking flair on show today. Good one.
It's one of those lineups that you're a genius if it works. If it doesn't work, then you're going to get someone with a stick.
Derek McInnes, he's down among bottom clubs as well, so you know it can't be overlooked that they've not had the best start to the season. They're only 3 points above Hibs, and we've got Hibs condemned to the Championship unless they're careful. So Derek McInnes knows the value of a good home win today. He's got Ibrox to come on Wednesday, and he'll want to go there in better heart.
Dundee United against St Mirren is the other game, and let's hear from Jim Goodwin and also St Mirren assistant Brian Kerr.
Credit to Stephen Robinson and to his players, really turned things around in the last four games. Unbeaten, obviously, in the four, but three wins in there. And I think it just shows you, how difficult the league can be at times, where, St Mirren hadn't changed a great deal from last season. Similar group of players, same message from Stephen, no doubt, but just weren't quite getting the break of the ball. And I think fine margins in a lot of the games had cost him. So he's made a slight tweak to the system and to the formation and to the personnel, and he's definitely getting the rewards for that in the last four games. And it just shows you put a good run together in the space of 4 or 5 weeks, and all of a sudden you can catapult yourself up the league like St Mirren have done, and they're now back in contention for those top six places.
A tough one. Dundee United have a great start to the campaign. They're obviously flying high. We've lost the previous two games to them, so that's a wee bit disappointing, and it's off the back of a couple of set plays, so we need to fix that. And we know it's got to be a difficult game up there, but both us and them are on a decent run, so both teams will be looking to continue that. Yeah, I feel we'd be a bit of a different team if we played them previously. I think we've turned the corner a bit. I think we're obviously high in confidence also, as they are after a few decent results, especially last week at Ibrox. So we're going into this game, full of confidence. We know we've got to go and do the basics well. We understand that, but also we need to make sure that we finish the opportunities that we take as well.
Not long to go until kick-off. We'll go back to Celtic Park next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Celtic against Ross County, Dundee United, St Mirren, Kilmarnock, Dundee and Motherwell. Hibs is the Premiership offering today. Lots of games in the Scottish Cup third round that we will keep you up to date with as well. Not long to go until kick-off in all of those matches. Let's go back to Celtic Park to get the final bit of build-up with Gabriel Antoniazzi.
Thanks, Andrew. Yes, Celtic's six-match winning run ended on Wednesday night, but things are still looking very rosy here in the east end of Glasgow. Brendan Rodgers wants his team to seize the chance to extend the gap over Aberdeen to 5 points for the first time this season, and they could go 14 ahead of Rangers. We're still in November. It is hard to believe. The captains leading their teams out in front of me now, Callum McGregor and Jordan White. Celtic have made a lot of changes today, six in total, and understandably with the gauntlet of fixtures ahead of them. There have been times where an alternate 11 hasn't really delivered and required reinforcements from the bench to tide them over. They'll hope, though, that they won't be needed today. And many players in this 11 feel they deserve starts, Andrew, just lining up in front of me. Alex Baye been really bright when he's played recently. Paolo Bernardo as well. He must be thinking, what can I do to get into this team? Well, he's got a chance today. Let's run through the 11. Schmeichel in goal. Johnson, Carter Vickers, Scales and Baye, the back four. McGregor, Bernardo and Macau in the midfield. Forrest, Ida and Maeda, the front three. The visitors, Ross County down here after a 2-1 win against Motherwell last week. Don Cowie making two changes to his side. They line up as follows. Laidlaw in goal, Wright, Leake and Campbell in defence. Brown and Harmon as wing-backs. Telfer, Nisbet and Chilvers in the middle. White and Hale up top. It's grim reading if you are a Staggies fan. Celtic have won the last 30 meetings between these two sides. County haven't won an away game in the league for over 14 months. Again, a statistic that's hard to believe given that they stay in the Premiership year upon year. Everyone knows it is their home form that usually keeps them up. But don't forget, County did lead Celtic for a long time in the previous meeting earlier this season. It required late goals from Alistair Johnson, Nicholas Kuhn to win the game. Will we see such a close tie today? We'll have to wait and see. Referee Callum Scott just urging the players to the centre circle. Celtic in their typical Hull fashion. The visitors standing over the ball, and we are moments away from kickoff at Parkhead.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Planning your holiday? Get essential health advice and medication before you travel.
Yes, underway in the 3 o'clock kickoffs across Scotland. We will get some predictions. Let's go for the four Premiership games, and I want a Scottish Cup upset as well.
I'll give you Celtic to beat Ross County, Motherwell to beat Hibs and intensify the pressure on David Gray, Kilmarnock to beat Dundee, and at Tannadice I'm going for a draw, and I don't care about upsets. I just want one team, Clydebank, to beat Bucky Thistle. Go on.
Would that be an upset?
I don't.
Bucky are a decent, isn't they?
Well, last time Bucky were in Glasgow, they played Celtic at Celtic Park, if you remember, in the Scottish Cup.
Bucky's
tie
in Glasgow every Saturday night.
I like that. Okay, I'm going to go for a Celtic home win. I can't see them not winning with that squad and players looking to prove themselves. So I think it'll be a comfortable one there against Ross County. I think Motherwell will beat Hibs, adding to David Gray's misery. Draw at Kilmarnock versus Dundee, a score draw. And Dundee United to go level in points with Rangers with a win at home to St Mirren. My shock, Brora against Livy.
What? Oh. Need one of your youth coach. I'll go Celtic beat Ross County, Motherwell Hibs a draw. I'm going all out attack, Kilmarnock to beat Dundee, and Dundee United to beat St Mirren. And here it is, first and foremost, you've heard it here first, the cup upset, Banks of D to beat Hamilton Accies, because they've got a secret weapon.
Which and is? And that is?
Gabs' wee brother.
Yep.
Oh.
I hope he's playing. And I hope he still plays for them. If he doesn't, then please, that's going to be a terrible prediction.
Please tell me.
Get Gabs. Still. Gabs will tell you. Come on, Gabs.
Is it, and plus the fact he's wee brother, big brother. What age is Gabs?
It's his wee brother.
Right, okay. Still
Gabs play? Says, love it, Dazzler. He's on the bench.
Oh, there's the headlines. Gabs has been used to on the bench.
Graham's the winner.
Look, they guys are used to winning trophies. I remember that brilliant day at Hampden when I sat next to Gabs' trophy, and he was on the bench in the cup final that day. Come on for 20 minutes, brought his trophy into Hampden, Celtic Rangers game. Nobody could watch it. They were going, look at that silverware that Gabs has got.
I wish he hadn't had that chocolate chip cookie, because it set him off like the kids used to go off in a Calpol.
I just love how much you bring up that trophy story. It really, really tickled you, didn't it?
That's my favourite.
I wasn't there, right? And he phoned me the first thing. I said, how'd the game go? Never mind the game. He said, Gabs brought a trophy. Oh, brilliant. You got to love him.
He was on the bench as well. I loved it. Absolutely.
Team players. It's a squad game nowadays, mate.
Anyway, Banksy D. Lock it in.
Underway.
I'm there tomorrow with the youth team. Yeah. Banksy D versus Thistle. So.
Okay, double. Banksy D double.
Maybe if Gab's brother doesn't get some game time, he might be able to drop down and play against you.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I'm sure I got offered Gab's brother at Brechin. I think I turned it down. I think he was at Aberdeen.
He was. He went out and loaned. Did he go to Cove or something? He went out a couple of clubs, didn't he? Gabs or two.
Knocked him back.
one famous brother.
Cove, Forfar, Montrose. Yeah.
Breakin's the only one that's missing then, isn't it? They all go about the same clubs.
And he would have completed the set if you hadn't knocked him back.
I knocked him back.
Why did you knock him back?
Because I took Conor Barron instead. So you do the math. You weigh that up.
I'd have taken
Antanazzi or Barron.
Antanazzi will do.
Who's to say that if Chris hadn't moved to Breakin that he'd maybe now be getting in Scotland squads and have got the move?
Exactly.
Maybe it was just under your tutelage that he
I would think so. I'd, you know, just those little nuggets are dropped into Barron. That's where he is. He remembers that.
Yeah, I'm sure he
does. Play it long.
I'm sure he does.
Turn them.
Hide behind that hedge.
As you can tell, nothing has happened in the 3 o'clock kickoffs so far. Nothing to report in those games. No goals in the Scottish Cup yet. No goals in the four Premiership fixtures. You mentioned about Dundee United being able to go level on points with Rangers. Motherwell have gone about their business really quietly this season, but if they win today, 1 point behind Rangers, they'll be, it's quite something.
It's funny how everyone keeps pointing out who can get close to Rangers. Dundee United can go on level points with Rangers, Motherwell can go 1 point behind Rangers. It's symptomatic of the kind of season that Rangers have had, and we all know the script now. Rangers play on a Thursday night and they take the weekends off, but that has to change. If Celtic beat Ross County, that has to change tomorrow, because Rangers can't be 14 points behind Celtic. They have to win that game tomorrow. Celtic, interesting. Jordan White and Ronan Hale up front for Ross County. Jordan White once cost a Celtic manager his job, you remember?
Neil Lennon,
yeah. Lost 1-0 to a Jordan White goal in Dingwall, and he was out the following day. And Ronan Hale has already scored against Celtic this season, but Celtic, again, it was a show of character in Dingwall, and they got the late goals to win 2-1.
Robbie McCrory makes a save from Jordan McGee. Adamida's also got down in the box at Celtic Park. Referee had a quick look, but it is just going to be a corner to Celtic.
Well, it seems to be that Celtic obviously starting on the front foot. If you're an Adamida, you've got to want to show what you can do. He had a very good cameo appearance at Tynecastle last Saturday, scored 2 goals, and I thought James Forrest changed the game for Celtic last Saturday when he came on as well, and he starts today. So Celtic clearly want to get their business done early.
Yeah, an early goal would be good for Celtic. You'd imagine that we'll have all the ball there at Celtic Park this afternoon. I like the changes, I like the freshness. They're quality players. It's not like you're bringing in untried, you know, kids giving their first chance in front of a big crowd. These guys can play. They're international football players. If they play today, they'll win this game comfortably.
Yes, Hugh has just reminded me that we need to do this.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Since season 2018-2019, six players have scored for Celtic or Rangers and scored for another SPFL team in the same season. Can you name them? So you have to listen carefully to this question. Since season 2018-2019, six players have scored for Celtic or Rangers and scored for another SPFL side in the same season. Who are they?
I think that is pretty tough. Yeah. I think that's tough.
Do you?
I've got one already. Yeah. One right away.
Okay, maybe it's not.
Let me see.
We will see. Remember, get your answers in at Clyde SSB.
Beautiful.
Is that correct, Hugh?
Yeah,
correct answer for Mark already. Remember, at Clyde SSB, all your answers in one tweet. And remember, it is a race as well. So you want to be at the top of that podium come half time. Make sure to get your answers in as quickly as possible. There is a goal in the Scottish Cup. It's Edinburgh City 0, Dunfermline 1, Dapo Mabudi on the score sheet.
Good start for them. Dunfermline are having a terrible season. Sitting down there, obviously, just in front of Airdrie, they've got that little breathing space. But for a club the size of Dunfermline to be sitting ninth in the Championship, they need a little cup run just to give them a bit of confidence. That'd have been our night out, mate.
Dunfermline,
Five. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, first goal.
What on earth's happening between Wolves and Bournemouth? 8 minutes in already, 2-1.
Defence is on there. Top.
Was hoping for the same between Dundee and Kilmarnock, but no goals yet. David Friel saying no chances at his game either. Motherwell against Hibs, pretty quiet start.
Scrappy stuff.
Yeah, David O'Bon. Get another 1 minute and O'Bon complaining.
Bonnie Rigg Rose 1, East Fife 0. Lee Curry scoring for the hosts.
The romance of the cup. Well, no, it's a league game.
No, because East Fife get put out of the cup by who?
East Fife get put out of the cup by
Banks of D.
Oh.
Great knowledge.
1-0.
What we should do is get you the gig with Gordon doing the next round of the draw with
away
facts
from
like
home.
That.
Talking about the man, look.
Oh, there he is.
Lando Mowgli has just come on our screens.
He doesn't like that.
I don't think he's going to like that.
If anybody watches Mowgli, that is him there. And by the way, he's not grown up. He's looking the exact same, let me tell you now. The only difference is he's got cans on now.
At least we know for a fact that Gordon is not listening to the show at the moment, so he can't get too rattled.
He'll still have an ear. He'll have another earpiece in listening to the show.
He's recorded the studio.
I think you can say his lawyer's listening.
It'll be happening.
Peterhead 0, Montrose 1, a Kane Hester penalty puts them ahead in the Scottish Cup. Roger had actually put this into the chat there, saying that Barcelona lost 2-1 to Las Palmas today. Ooh. And starting for Las Palmas, Scott McKenna. Kate coming off the bench for Las Palmas, Ollie McBurney. Scoring the winning goal for Las Palmas, Fabio Silva. We've got one of these as well at Celtic Park. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Celtic have the lead 10 minutes into the game, and it's Liam Scales, a header off the underside of the bar from a corner, and a good start for Brendan Rodgers' side.
Liam Scales is the only defender who has that ability about him to capitalise on set pieces. It's a dying art. Used to be commonplace, but from corner kicks, free kicks, he's the man to pick out. And that's the worst possible start for Ross County.
I think with Liam Scales, Daz was chatting about Bernardo earlier, being unlucky not to be in the starting 11. I think he can count himself as being unlucky, because most of the time, 90% of the time he's played, I think he's been outstanding. And like any kind of young Celtic player who comes through, and he went out on loan of course and he came back, that the mistakes that he made were highlighted so much that it was difficult for him. But I think he's been terrific for Celtic recently. Gets a goal. He scored in the Champions League, didn't he, from a set piece?
I can't argue with that. The one thing about him, when the ball goes in there, he goes and attacks it. He believes that he can go and win it. And I agree with Mark. See, if you're Liam Scales and you're at a club the size of Celtic and you see what they're bringing in. Now, let's be honest, Trusty and Carter Vickers are probably the two centre-backs that are the strongest for Brendan Rodgers. But Scales has, to me, never let them down. He's been absolutely brilliant for them. And there he adds up with a goal and gets them off to a good afternoon, I think. I think there'll be plenty of goals at Celtic Park today.
Good delivery from the corner by Luke McCowan to set it up as well. He's a player that Celtic fans have been wanting to see a bit more of since his move from Dundee.
Luke McCowan appears to be the domestic Celtic 11 player, as opposed to the Champions League Celtic starting
I thought
player.
He should have come on the other night, Hugh.
Yeah.
The camera panned to the bench and it looked like he was getting ready to come on. Maybe we had about 15-20 minutes to go, and I was thinking that's a good option, because I thought Hatate had a poor game. Thought he couldn't do anything right, and I thought it's maybe screaming out for McCown, because how could it be any worse than what Hatate was? But he didn't come on the pitch, and you're right, it seems to be domestically he's trusted, maybe not so much in the continent.
You know, I don't think that's necessarily a slight on him. It's his first season at Celtic, and you know, we're not yet at the halfway stage of the season, but he's made his contribution. He's put the ball onto Liam Scales' head. As the Dazzler said, Scales fought for the right, and Celtic I think look in the mood.
Stirling Albion 1-4-0 in the Scottish Cup. Adam Brown with the goal for
Remember
them
Adam?
And
Adam, yeah, we
do you have
Adam,
him?
Yeah.
What's his claim to fame? Go on then, Daz.
He starred in Mrs. Brown's Boys or something, didn't he?
Adam Brown?
Yeah.
Well, he might have done, but wasn't he what I thought?
He was the ball boy.
Yes.
A football game, I can't
at
remember.
At Celtic Park.
Messi.
You're just shouting random things now.
I know.
You started badly with Mrs. Brown's boys, yeah, and went worse.
I've totally forgotten what it was in the month.
He found Maradona's chain, didn't he?
Oh.
When
they gave him it back?
He found it on the pitch, remember, when Argentina trained there. Maradona was the manager.
That wasn't the question. What? Did they give him it back? If I'm finding Maradona's necklace, I'm actually in my pocket.
Yeah, but there are people of honesty and integrity.
I don't care.
He was a wee guy at the time.
I know EB wasn't popular then, but
hold on, you wouldn't have gave Maradona that back?
Absolutely no chance. I'd have been in the skyrocket down the road.
You would have thought maybe Maradona would have gave you a few quid for finding it.
Well, Adam Brown came to us, so he didn't obviously he needed money. So I wasn't like Maradona changed his life, but if you'd have kept that chain to now, what's that worth? That's an investment. You've got to look forward.
So some say investment, some say theft. Yeah. It's just depends on your outlook on life, I suppose.
I'm a bit of both, if I'm totally honest with you.
Musselburgh Athletic 1, Bowness United 0 in the Scottish Cup. Nathan Evans scoring for Musselburgh.
Good songs it as well.
Yeah,
busy guy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the Scottish Cup's so big for teams, you know, all through the divisions because the draw that you get. But for those two, I wonder if they're disappointed by that or they're quite happy to face each other. Give yourself a better chance to get further.
But
what have they got? I don't know. See, a Musselburgh got a Partick Thistle at Firhill or something like that. Does that generate any cash for them?
Wouldn't even pay for their bus home.
Interesting one at Tannadice because Jack Walton charges off his line, cleans out to Yossi Olisanya. Yellow card given. There was a quick VAR check, I'm assuming, to see whether it should have been a red or not. However, play on.
Oh, well, Jim Rubin has got away with one there. Need to be careful. So, remarkably, Liam Steele's goal is the only one in the Premiership so far.
Yeah, plenty going in the Scottish Cup. Queen's Park nil, Partick Thistle 1. Robbie Crawford.
That's a big one for Partick Thistle, I think, because the cup runs mean money. You remember Ian McCall taking Partick Thistle to the Rangers, did very well there, and then got sacked the same night. But a home draw against a Celtic, or home draw for Rangers against a Partick Thistle, or a Celtic against Partick Thistle, then it's glee time because you make a fortune.
Do you want to read that teaser again, Hugh?
Yeah, why not?
I think people quite might need a bit, of a bit of a handout there.
We're going back to season 2018-2019. Six players have scored for Celtic or Rangers since then and scored for another SPFL side in the same season. Can you name them? It begins in 2018-2019 to the present day. Six players have scored for Celtic or Rangers and scored for another SPFL side in the same season.
Just looking at some of the answers coming in on Twitter. Charlie Bear says Greg Docherty.
No.
Also says Ryan Christie.
No.
And also says Jamie Murphy.
No.
And says Jack Hendry.
4 out of 4 wrong.
And says Lewis Morgan.
5 out of 5
and says Scott Allen.
6 out of 6 wrong.
6 answers tweeted in, 0 correct ones. But you'll need
that's
to try again.
That's hard Charlie. To do. Get that's every answer wrong.
Oh, what about him?
Matt? Yes.
Okay. Two of you maybe, are on a bit of a roll.
I might be a wee bit time scale out, but I think it's worth a go.
Okay, we'll give it a go.
Yeah.
Kane Hester has a second for Montrose. They're 2-0 up against Peterhead. And another goal in that game. Bournemouth 3, Wolves 1. 18 minutes gone.
That'll be a match of the day special tonight after Celebrity.
Well, it's Gary Neils.
Gary Neils?
Gary O'Neill.
Oh, Gary Neils.
The Wolves manager.
Yeah.
He'll be OBC out by Christmas.
He got a good result last week. I seen him on the park celebrating for some reason. I know he's really struggling just now, but I think he got a good result last week. Not particularly happy with him anyway.
Who, Gary O'Neill?
Aye, he doesn't do it for me.
I like Gary O'Neill. I think he's alright.
He's a bit.
You think the managers have sleepless nights about losing their job like managers in Scotland?
Mate, see, if I'm an English Premier League manager, I'm phoning the chairman saying we didn't play particularly well tonight, did we not? What's your thoughts? Would you like to have a board meeting tomorrow?
maybe it's time for a change, maybe, Chairman.
I feel a bit of freshness in that dugout. We could do well for the fans.
Day one of the job, feet aren't even underneath the desk yet, and you're already thinking of the payoff.
That's what I thought about.
Were you ever a player that, because I came across so many players in the dressing room, and I think I was speaking to another ex-player the other day, and we were having a joke about that, how we were never in that bracket that you sign for a club, you get a 3-year contract, but quite quickly you're recognised as you don't fit the manager's plans, and you're on your way out within 6 months with a full pay up. Aye. You go to your next club and you do the same. There was loads of players that had that. So they barely kicked the ball. You look at their appearances, but they had maybe 3 or 4 different clubs, all paid up.
I know what camp I'm in. I'm in that one that you're talking about. I'll tell you right now, I loved a payout.
You'd be sitting on the bench with Maradona's chain on.
Couldn't care less. Honestly, see, the check was cashed after 3 days.
He'd be sitting in Berlin with Maradona's chain on.
Oh.
Junior Hoylett is looking pretty lively for Hibs. Had a shot blocked after a good run forward by Jack Iredale. I think that's the first shot on goal that's happened in that game
so far.
But Hibs looking okay. Some decent play from both sides, says Dave Galloway at Dundee United St Mirren, but no real, neither goalkeeper tested. I do wonder whether that VAR check was maybe to see whether it was in or outside the box rather than a red or yellow card, but it was a free kick that was given in the end.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised. Four games, one goal. Liam Scales for Celtic.
Sure, I forgot about Celtic. I'm just imagining Celtic are going to go on and score. I'm looking at the other games. I think Dundee United, St Mirren's a cracker. My focus is on Motherwell Hibs because I need Motherwell to bounce back. But if Hibs get beat again, that's another story.
Junior Hoylett now down injured in the middle of the park after looking bright at the start of this game. Not what Hibs need.
That's the way David Gray's luck is going. He really has to, I think, win today. I'm fascinated by the Hearts Aberdeen game tomorrow for a variety of reasons, but David Gray has simply got to give some form of indication that he's capable of winning anywhere.
If Hearts win tomorrow, is Aberdeen's bubble burst you?
Well, that would be 3 games in a row without a win for Jimmy Thielen.
1 point.
Well, yeah, 1 point out of 9. But Hearts couldn't hit a barn door. They've got the top scorer from last season has gone 20 games and scored 1 goal. Nobody else helps him because they're all just as bad in front of a goal. I would fancy Aberdeen strongly tomorrow at Tynecastle.
You can tell the other night there, we were watching it with the penalty kick. You can tell players that are playing with confidence and guys that are just hoping the ball hits the back of the net.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Shanklin's like that just now. I think he's a real, real top class player. I really do. He's unfortunate as a striker. You get through games and you're just waiting for that next goal. You just want that next goal to happen. And maybe sometimes his link-up play has been really good. I thought at Ibrox second half, you know, coming off, linking the ball, everything about it is very good. He just needs to get that little bit of luck again, front of goals, confidence comes back, and then all of a sudden he's off and running again.
I'm not saying, you know, he is 29, and I'm not saying this because of his age, but the constant speculation linking him with Rangers, I don't think Philippe Clement was ever interested in Lawrence Shanklin, and I certainly don't think he'll end up at Rangers the way he's playing now.
Not looking good for your upset shout, Mark. Livingston 1, Brora Rangers 0.
I'm going to twist on that one. I felt too pressured into picking that, so I'm going to change.
It's nearly half time.
I could tell it was such a rushed pick as well, because you just turned around, just looked at the fixtures on the wall and picked the first one.
I'll go for Bournemouth. Right, go. What do you want?
I'll go for Broxbourne to beat Stranraer.
Ooh.
That's not bad, eh? Right,
I like
okay.
I like your thinking there.
Yep.
I like your thinking there. It'll not happen, but I like your thinking.
Did I hear, did they borrow the Livy bus? Did I hear that earlier on?
Oh, I love the Livy bus. Have you seen the Livy bus? There's two buses, there are two team buses
like
in
it.
Scotland that I love a fall about, right? The Livy bus is sensational. And Aberdeen.
I knew just the couple of buses that are
I just want to be involved at Aberdeen.
I've never known anyone to be a football team bus enthusiast.
I used to love the team bus
because it's got pictures on the side of it, the Livy badge, and the Aberdeen one's got the players on the side of it.
I always
like the bright colours.
Even when I played in the management, right, I was always fascinated. It was
My mic?
Yeah, I think your mic just that's how boring his story was going to be, that his mic is just
oh dear.
I think I should I think I'll turn Gordon's mic off for now.
What did you say? It's a jungle.
The jungle, aye.
Okay, you're back. You did. I think you might have got an electric shock and all that, but you are back. Well, maybe get someone to take a look at that.
I'll not need that transplant now.
You are going to look a different person, I think, this time next year, aren't you?
Nobody will recognise me.
You're telling me all about the further my work procedures. You're planning on getting done.
Yeah, Merchant City. I hope you're listening, Paul. I'll be in on Monday to get my fillers.
What's the company called?
But by the way, genuinely, I think people out there will think you are joking.
Somebody says to me in the gym today, right, were you kidding on with that? I says, listen, you will not recognise me by this time next year. I'll be a younger dazzler. I'll be looking at
you. Genuinely getting filler on your face.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, I can only compare it. Louis Walsh. I'll way back in the Kardashians. He went for one season and it was Louis Walsh, and he came back for the next series. And you're going, what is going on with Louis Walsh's face? And of course, he had the full work done. That's you.
What a bizarre reference point to, to bring really. Up as well. Having
guy,
that locked away
hair,
in there.
Wrinkly, just everybody. And the next series. Yeah, the old
turn it off, mate. Honestly,
you are SSB's Louis Walsh.
I cannot wait.
I cannot wait to see what you look like. Daz 2.0.
If Dyson Maida doesn't get a goal soon and we talk about something else, I'm going to lose the will to live in here.
Yeah, there was a good ball in by, I think, was it Paolo Bernardo? No takers though for Celtic. There was a Ryan Strain shot for Dundee United. Free kick, 25 yards out, not too far away. There is a delay going on at, where is that, Fir Park as well. There is. The officials are having communication issues. So whatever happened to your mic appears to be happening with the officials there. So the players are over at the side taking a bit of a drinks break.
So if the communications cannot be switched back on, we just go
just
back,
go
to,
back the, to old school
way of life.
Yeah, you can't abandon the game, so you'll need to.
You're talking about keeping young, or Daz trying to keep young. I said something to you earlier. I've got a fella in my kitchen spray painting it, Stevie, and he was telling me today that he thought you were a legend and all his pals did. They went to Ibiza on a stag do.
Hold on.
With t-shirts with your face printed on it.
Oh, no.
I don't know
not
for what reason.
Got a bird.
It was a quiet weekend for them.
Exactly. It was quiet.
That shows how much a legend you are. Stag do's going abroad with your face on the t-shirt.
Oh, you should have got a photo. You should have got that photo sent through to you.
Yeah, I mean that's quite impressive.
That's quite desperate.
I don't know for what purpose, though, that they had your face on.
A
on
lot
the front.
Many years ago was that, because he was very popular years ago.
What, that might have been the days you had the tash.
I don't think the popularity has waned.
I think it has. You're well gone.
Another one of these at Celtic Park.
Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Celtic 2, Ross County 0, and it's Luke McCowan with the goal. It was a good ball over the top from Liam Scales, touch and finish after a good run into the box from the midfielder.
Well, the dream goes on for Luke McCowan. The dream was to play for Celtic. He's realised the dream in £1 million transfer, and he's showing his worth. As I say, he may be the domestic player, but you still play more domestic games than any other kind. And if you get somebody who can fit in as well as Luke McCowan has done, then you have spent well on the money to bring him from Dundee. So, but what a state Ross County are in now.
Well, Mark said earlier before the show that he fancied a five here this afternoon.
Yeah.
We were not really that convinced, but it's going to be a long afternoon for Ross County. You'd imagine Celtic, and there's still some big hitters that they can bring on as well. So it's not looking particularly good for him.
The reason I came up with that was obviously the players going into the squad and looking to prove a point, really. Good squad, but Daz touched on it earlier that it wasn't just plucking people from the bench or the stand to play. All these guys have had minutes in recent weeks. They've all contributed well coming off the bench, so they're ready. And you look at Ross County as well. Now, they're doing okay, they're sitting in eighth, but they concede a lot of goals. 22 this season, minus 10 goal difference. just fancied Celtic. If they got that early goal, that they would go on to win this comfortably.
A goal difference that's now better than Aberdeen's by 20. You know, this is an extra point for Celtic. The goal difference is such, so superior to Aberdeen and to Rangers, that it's an extra point. So the day is going well for Celtic and Luke McKevin.
It's not going well for the predictions in here for the upsets in the Scottish Cup, because it's now Banks of D 0, Hamilton 1, Ollie Shaw on the score sheet, and we've got one of these at Fir Park.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Motherwell 0, Hibs 1. We said he was looking lively. Junior Hoylett on the score sheet, and that is a big goal for David Gray in his side.
Huge, huge goal. And now they really have to show the kind of determination that got them the 3-3 draw with Aberdeen midweek. And we know that defensively, the poor goal difference of minus 10, but they've got something to cling on to here.
We talked about Hibs and their goalkeeping issues. I think this was a bit of a nightmare from Aston Oxborough in the Motherwell goal, though. It was a Nicky Cadden cross. Oxborough came for it, missed the punch, and Junior Hoylett scores.
And I think he's been good for Motherwell too.
He has, Hugh.
But I'm just looking. Motherwell have been doing brilliant, right? They're up there, but in the last five games, they've lost three. You know, that was disappointing at Ross County last week as well. You can't just get into a wee slump of losing games, because obviously we'll get who's the lad?
Hugh from the Motherwell fan.
He will be sitting with our number the now dialing it in. He's ready to come on.
Yeah, did they win that game? They did win that game at home, and Hugh came on,
slaughtered
and slaughtered Stuart Kettlewell's tactics. He was then on, was it last week again? Not happy. So no ideal start from Motherwell, but
great for Hibs.
But they'll concede. They cannot keep a clean sheet, Hibs. They will concede. Don't worry about that.
Tough gig being a manager here. You know, Hugh, the Motherwell fan, just cannot stand Stuart Kettlewell. And I repeat, the caller last night who said it was a bad result for Rangers to win 4-1 in these.
I think that's a bit disrespectful, because you can give Rangers criticism, league. You know, campaign, the way they've been playing, and I keep saying it, they're a bore fest. I wouldn't like to go and watch them. Rangers fans are switching off in the droves. But look, they went away from home and they could have easily racked up 6 or 7 goals. I know that everybody can point at the opposition, but it doesn't matter. You're still away from home. You've got to go and produce, and you've got to give them a bit of credit. You know, give them a bit of slack. Look, it might be different tomorrow, because I agree. See, when you come back, the one fixture I would not pick is McDermott Park. Yeah. I don't think it holds well for attractive football for me.
Nobody likes going there, do they?
No.
Supporters don't. Players don't.
Either St Johnstone away or Ross County away. That's the dread.
I think Ross County, by the way, Hugh, is all right. See the environment and the pitch and that. I think it's okay. I think McDermott Park, though, is difficult. Just everything that saps your energy.
That's terrible.
As soon as you step in. That's why I got beat 7-0 there with Breaking. I thought, I can't be bothered.
Nah. Well, you done a good impersonation.
There we are, Breaking ahead in the Scottish Cup.
Breaking 1-0 up against Cowdenbeath. Brad McKay scoring for the visitors.
The only team I hate more than Breaking is Cowdenbeath. That's where I went there with Dumbarton, didn't I, at the end of the season. And I thought, oh, this is dreadful.
The tyres round about
the stock cars or whatever it was.
Half
started
that at the moment you decided to chuck it.
It was warming down the pitch, and I heard them vroom, vroom, and I thought, nah.
I think I've only ever covered one
game. I was
game.
Right back.
I think I've only ever covered one game there, and Rangers played Cowdenbeath in the Scottish Cup when Stephen Gerrard was in charge, and it was I basically interviewed him in what was like a portaloo after the game.
Dressing rooms were terrible, weren't they? You used to stand and do three in, three out. Right? One to three again and get changed.
That's the dressing room, actually.
Four, five, and six next.
But you remember that you go in and there's like it's divided into two. So yeah, it's an awkward shape. And you have to send the players into one.
I like Central Park. Is it still called Central Park? Can it be called Central Park? Is it?
What did you like about Central Park?
Oh, I loved it. Loved the atmosphere. I loved everything about it. Big tyres and the cars getting revved up. I loved it. I loved the scenery.
Oh, Stranraer 0, Broxburn Athletic 1, Jonathan Payne.
There we go. Wilson's back with his predictions.
If you change your predictions enough, one of them will be right.
Talking of Brechin, Jonathan Page was my captain at Brechin. Here we go.
Was he former Motherwell?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Andrew, great knowledge.
Was he a centre half?
Yeah. He was at least a goal a game. For me,
he the best assist.
By the way, what a guy, school teacher, lovely guy, but could not defend.
I'm sure I'd be delighted to hear what you said about him.
He's giving it to everybody.
I'm joking.
Christmas Page, must be coming up.
Page, he was a great fella.
You've still only get two out of the six.
Two?
The first half teaser.
Is that one wrong there, Hugh?
He's wrong.
That's yours. You're not.
Nah, I think do you want to read it out again, Hugh?
Since season 2018-2019, six players have scored for Celtic or Rangers and scored for another SPFL team in the same season. Who are they?
People are getting close. I think no one has all six, but I think someone's got five out of six so far. Some of the wrong answers coming in. Quan?
Not Quan, no.
He won, Hugh?
No.
I've switched off, I don't know.
Still got a bit of work to do.
I'll wait till the second half teaser. That's when I come alive.
Yeah, I got it again last week. Actually, I forgot you weren't here last week, Hugh. So I was the quiz master, and he got it right away.
Right away. No hesitation.
Amazing, isn't it?
Wow. I know he's Gordon. Gets under his skin. You can see the rage building up across the desk.
You're never fully away. I get a phone call from a pal of mine last Saturday as I was taking my grandchildren for dinner.
Sorry, Hugh.
Oh. Goal flashes with M&D
Green Pharmacy. Celtic 3, Ross County 0. Paolo Bernardo with the goal this time. So the midfielders that have been brought in are doing the business. Dyson Maeda pulled the ball back into the box. The shot blocked initially, but then tucked in at the second time of asking.
Well, you know, first of all, you pay tribute to Celtic's professionalism. They've had a real tough midweek in the Champions League, and they've gone about their business today in a thoroughly professional manner. Get the job done. Get some players off. Put on others. Get everybody a bit of game time. And work it that way, because you've got Pataudry on Wednesday night, and that's a huge match.
Does Brendan Rodgers have a big decision to make in midfield come Wednesday night? Because Arne Engels has come in for a bit of criticism. You've then got Paolo Bernardo. Fans want to see him. Luke McCowan scored today, set up a goal. Fans want to see him
come
as well.
We've had phone calls here, surprisingly, because I like Hatate. I think he's an excellent footballer. But he's come in for a bit of criticism. Look, I think it's horses for a track. You've just got to look at the...
That'll be horses for courses.
No, I say it differently, Hugh. It's horses for the track, make up my own stuff.
Sorry, speaking of Celtic midfielders.
Another one. Five's too well. M&D Green Pharmacy.
He scored a few from outside the box this season, and he's got another Callum McGregor on the score sheet, 25 yards out, maybe further than that, and they've got a fourth. You said it would maybe be five for Celtic today. It could well be five by half time.
They're on form today, and I think that was the danger, always the danger for Ross County. When these players are coming into the squad, I keep going back to it, they've maybe got something to prove, as in I should be starting. And Hugh's right in mentioning midweek game. It's almost like an addition of trial to say, look, you cannot leave me out of this squad come midweek. So these Celtic players will be loving it at the minute. Very professional how they've went about their business. Just too quick for Ross County and their thought process.
If you're a Ross County player just now, you're thinking, please, hamstring, something go.
What I think will be even worse for the Ross County players is around the 60 minute mark, when they look over to the sideline and see Kyogo, Kuhn, Engels, Hatate potentially getting stripped and ready to come on.
If I was Brendan Rodgers just now, I would just write those boys off. I would just leave them where they are. Give them a rest. Why bring them on for 30 minutes? I'm talking about Kuhn, who's been outstanding this season. You're going to use him, aren't you, Pataudry? I would even probably leave Hatate and Kyogo, because it benefits players getting 90 minutes as well. So Adam Ida, I think he could benefit from 90 minutes. Scales, probably another 90 minutes. Definitely McCowan, 90 minutes. It just makes you better, feel more part of it.
But you've got to look at, for instance, the guy who's just scored, the captain. you'd be looking to maybe take him off.
Yeah.
With one eye in important games coming up. So, but he's got bags on that bench. He'll probably now have that plan, what he's got to use, how he's got to use it. Unless, obviously, there's injuries, you can't count for that. But I tell you, that's impressive. I know Ross Kenny, we all fancy Celtic to win it comfortably if they played, but to be four up before even half time, well, and maybe more, is impressive.
First of all, I said you had to pay tribute to their professionalism. You also have to pay tribute to their hunger and desire. You know, that this is still the first half of the game, and they look eager for more goals before the interval. They got a six against St Johnstone in Perth. They got a six against Aberdeen at Hampden in the Premier Sports Cup. They must surely be well on track for another six here today.
It's all happening in the Scottish Cup. Livingston have a second. They're 2-0 up. Tete Yenge with the goal. Queen's Park have equalised against Partick Thistle. Louis Longridge with the goal in that one. And good news for the Bankies, because they've not scored, but Hamish Munro has been sent off for Bucky Thistle.
The most Scottish guy ever on St Andrew's Day. Hamish Munro. Early bath.
His wee brother Jordy
couldn't handle the atmosphere.
Jordy Munro, who's that?
Is that another song that Ray Thrower sang? Wee Jordy Munro.
Never heard of that. Have you not?
Don't give him any more of those chocolate chip cookies.
St Andrew's Day.
Fraserburgh 1-0 up against Annan. Connor Wood with the goal, because we were talking about Gab's brother playing for Banks of Dee. I think Gab's is now trying to show off his footballing pedigree. He's just messaged to say that he played with Hamish Munro at uni. Guy that's just been sent off for Bucky Thistle.
What a claim to fame that is. He'll have another trophy. He'll have a picture of him.
See, if you're right, how would you even remember that?
Exactly.
Playing my guy called Hamish Munro. You know, it's not as if
I used to play with Callum
McGregor or something like that.
But you'll remember your teammates, though, from who you played with at youth level.
I was a professional footballer.
But I also don't know how Gabs has any time to message us, because with M&D Green Pharmacy. Adam Ida on the score sheet this time. Celtic 5, Ross County 0, about 20 yards out. And one of these as well. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. This one not at Celtic Park, I should add, but it is a big one. Motherwell 0, Hibs 2. Ooh. It's going right for David Gray today. I think, I'm not quite sure, it was bundled over the line from a corner. I think there was a few players in there. I think it was Kukurevic that scored.
Well, the most significant goal there is for Park, for Hibs to get themselves 2 in front. And look, surely they can't Hibs it from this position. And,
famous,
you know, let Motherwell come back in here. But David Gray, look, I think he deserves a bit of luck. A lot's went against him this season in terms of individual errors. It seems to be going his way this afternoon. Getting to half time, 2-0 up, and he'll feel a relieved man, and he can maybe relax for once.
Man under the cosh, and he's doing the job. They are all doing the job. They're 2 up away from home. As I said about Rangers, there's no way you can take anything away. If you go away from home and score goals, you're doing your job. But the defensive frailty, they need to make sure that doesn't return to haunt them. But it's a fantastic scoreline. Not yet a result. Fantastic scoreline. And Hearts, as things stand, at bottom of the table.
We did wash over that Celtic fifth goal just because Hibs scored quickly after them, but a brilliant strike it was from Adam Ida to put them 5-0.
Do you know, it's a team game, right? But see, when you're a striker and you've scored 4 at home and you're not on that score sheet, it starts to get to you, let me say. It does start to get to you. But I'll tell you what, he's made up for it. It's a great finish.
Yeah, it was on media duty yesterday. Adam Ida, quite honest, saying that he's actually not really been happy with his season so far, that the start to life as a permanent Celtic player isn't what he was hoping for. And it's actually quite a strange quirk of his goals, because last season, pretty much every single goal Adam Ida scored had huge significance to it. Winning games, winning trophies. This season, he's scoring, and he's scoring at a rate of, I think, a goal every 70 minutes or so. Yeah. So a very good record. But if you actually look at when the goals are, a lot of them are when Celtic are already 3-0, 4-0 up.
But they all count.
Oh yes, still scoring.
You get 2 at Tynecastle. He's got 1 so far today. And the way the roof has collapsed on Ross County, Celtic last season 6-0 at half time against Dundee. I think it was eventually 7-1. But the hunger, the professionalism, they are simply overwhelming Ross County, and they show no signs of letting up either.
I wouldn't like to be Don Cowie in that dressing room at half time. What do you say to Lifty's players?
Yeah.
Let's win the second half.
That's going to come out. That's coming out. Maybe not for Don, but one of the players, yeah. One of these stupid shouts.
It's the only thing you could possibly say. Because they are lower than a snake's belly, the players just now. So to try and lift them will be so difficult. They've gone. This could anything Celtic want this afternoon. This will be.
Well, you remember they took a six, didn't they? Was that against Rangers?
Yep.
On the season.
Yeah.
So not good memories of Glasgow for Don Cowie.
Well, first of all, the way things are going, Mark. First of all, they have to avoid losing double figures. It really does not look good for the league, for the Premiership, if teams are beating other teams by double figures. So I think that's their first target, to avoid that.
When it gets to points in games like this, when a team have scored 5 goals in the first half, people always sort of say about double figures. It just never really happens. Just psychologically, subconsciously, the foot comes off the gas?
But Celtic aren't taking their foot off the gas. That's the problem right now. Those who are there, like Adam Ida, he'll be keen to get more goals. Paolo Bernardo, and obviously enjoyed scoring in front of the Celtic fans who think the world of him. They look keen for more goals. That's the worry for Don Cowie.
I do think that is the issue for Don Cowie, because these players, remember, there is no other games programme for these guys, no reserve football that they get their minutes. So they're getting off the bench sometimes, James Forrest and Ida and McCown. But when they get a start, and you know, Daz will tell you as a player, you get your nose in front like this, everybody wants a touch of the ball. You want to get in the score sheet if you're a striker. If you're a winger, you want a couple of assists. And that is the worry, that they'll keep going and they won't take their foot off the pedal.
I think you'll find I had my nose in front of the warm up.
Don Cowie up against his former manager as well. At Watford, Don Cowie was Brendan Rodgers' first ever signing in management.
Is that right?
Yeah. £50,000 from Inverness to Watford.
I would be going on chapping Brendan's door and saying, excuse me, could you just let up a little bit here?
Well, you know, Celtic looking to go to Pittodrie and looking to have a pivotal result in the title race on Wednesday night. They're just relentless, remorseless. They will not take their foot off the gas.
Should we wrap up the teaser, Hugh?
Let's do it.
The first half teaser
with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Since season 2018-2019, 6 players have scored for Celtic or Rangers and scored for another SPFL side in the same season. They are Luke McCowan, Ewan Henderson, David Turnbull, Scott Wright, Florian Camberi, and Kyle Lafferty.
Well, I said it was a tough one, so tough that no one got all 6 answers, but we will do a podium based on how many people got, well, how many people got right. This is how tough it was. In third place, Ali Graham with 2 out of 6.
Yeah.
In second place, Amanda Hetherington with 3 out of 6. First place, Derek FM. Well done. 5 out of 6. Didn't get Ewan Henderson, but a good effort from
difficult, Hugh.
Ewan Henderson's a tough one. Yeah. To get that.
That is a tough one. It is half time at Rugby Park. Roger Hannah.
Yeah, Kilmarnock 0, Dundee 0, to be fair, Andrew. We were due a stinker between these two after a couple of 5-goal crackers so far this season, and it has delivered very little in the first 45 minutes. It's actually been a half of two halves. Dundee started quite brightly inside 5 minutes. The on-form Josh Mulligan hit the byline, cut it back. Jordan McGee tested the Kilmarnock goalkeeper, Robbie McCrory, at the near post. From the corner, it was kind of overhead to the back post. The D captain, Simon Murray, retrieved it. He knocked it back in, and McGee again was there. with a header, this time just off target. Lyle Cameron flashed a 20-yard drive past McCrory's post after 8 minutes with Dundee well on top at that stage. It did take Kilmarnock some time to get into the game. Murray, he was inches away from tapping home Mulligan's cross after 11 minutes and then tested McCrory again as Tony Docherty said, look, for that early breakthrough. Kilmarnock slowly came into the game. Bruce Anderson, who's been added to the attack along with the captain, Kel Vassell and Marley Watkins, he headed wide when he should have hit the target after a decent Watkins cross in 28 minutes. Anderson again was through, but Antonio Portales in with a really good challenge while he was on the ground as Anderson tried to chase down a long clearance from goalkeeper McCrory. Fraser Murray then had a 25-yard free kick, easily clutched for the Dundee keeper, John McCracken, under his bar. And as Kelly finished the half on the front foot, Vassell had a speculative shot from the edge of the box, deflected away to safety. We expect a lot more in the second half. This has been low in quality. Kilmarnock 0, Dundee 0.
No other half times in the Premiership so far. There has been a change in goal for Ross County. Laidlaw off, Hamilton on. There was a challenge. I think the ball was played over the top. Adamida was through and Laidlaw came out. Sliding challenge, won the ball, but I think he's maybe injured himself in the process and is off, and Hamilton is on. So let's see if he can fare any better.
Paid the price for his own commitment to goalkeeper. He's lost 5 goals so far and must have been dreading the remainder of the match, but he out bravely and he's paid the price. So next goalkeeper, please.
5 minutes added at Fir Park. Remember, there was a communications issue. 2 added at Tannadice as well. Still waiting on a half time from Celtic Park. There was that delay, of course, when they were trying to make that substitution. I think it is half time now, Gabriel.
Yeah, half time here. Celtic 5, Ross County 0. Celtic may have made 6 changes. They've nearly had 6 goals in these first 45 minutes. It's been a brilliant performance from the champions. Goals all over the pitch as well. Liam Scales was one of the players who did come into the side. He opened the scoring in the 10th minute. A great header came in off the underside of the crossbar from an in-swing Luke McCowan corner. And then it was roles reversed for the second. The Irishman stepping out from the back, lifting the ball over the top to Luke McCowan, who made a darting run from midfield. A touch and finish past Ross Laidlaw. Dyson Maeda had the beating of his man all day on the left wing. He did it again when he pulled the ball back for Paolo Bernardo, whose first shot was blocked, but he tucked the second away comfortably. And a minute later, Andrew, it was 4. You were starting to lose count. This time it was Callum McGregor with a thunderous strike from 25 yards, maybe even further. He looks so dangerous from distance this season. He's got 6 league goals in just 11 games. Then Adam Eder followed his captain's example a few minutes later, curling the ball in from outside of the box as well. County have been really poor, but Celtic look electric here. This could be anything in the second half. At the interval, it's Celtic 5, Ross County 0.
Yeah, amazingly, that goal actually puts Callum McGregor as the outright top goal scorer in the Scottish Premiership this season.
I was going to say, it'd be interesting to hear what tweaks he's made to his game, or as the management said, did the coaching staff said to him, you know, work on this, because they're all very similar. Yeah. You know, he gets in that kind of inside right channel, he shifts it onto his left foot, and they're all in the same corner, if it makes sense. So it's certainly something he's added to his game, and there you go, gets him up the scoring charts.
I think he just shoots more. It's simple. You can't add in his game because he's a very, very talented footballer, very intelligent. I think he's just been encouraged by Brendan Rodgers to say, look, when you got on that left foot, believe and hit the target. And it's certainly working and paying dividends.
It shows, though, you can still add to your game. I mean, he's hugely experienced, played I don't know how many games for Celtic now, retired from international football, yet he's still finding ways to progress as a midfield player. Been Mark, terrific again.
Mark says leave the team as it is and leave the A-listers on the subs bench. What do you say, Dazzler?
I totally take on board what Mark's saying, but you've got people, Yang and people like that still on the bench.
Yang's on the bench, yeah.
You can get him on, you can get him minutes. He's looked lively when he come on. You know, you can use one or two that maybe need that few minutes. Ralston, for instance, and taking Johnson off. You can take McGregor off. And so, yeah, you can keep the likes of Kyogo and Kuhn and people like that on the... Look, Brendan Rodgers knows exactly what he's doing here with a Celtic squad, so he'll have it all sussed out there.
I was going to say there that they've got such a good squad, and you have to protect against complacency. If it's not going well, you bring on the big hitters like they've done in the past. But it's at times like this, you look at the Celtic squad in the Youth Champions League, and Cummings, who scored, you know, a hat-trick, you know, was it the other day, scores a couple. it's a prime opportunity to put some of these players in, and you look at the bench and there's no real youngsters on it.
Half time at Fir Park, David Friel.
Yeah, Andrew, half time, Motherwell 0, Hibs 2. The Motherwell fans booing very, very loudly just a second ago. It's not going well for them at all, but it is going well for David Gray and Hibs. They stand on the brink of ending that 9-game winless run. Hibs have had two real chances. They've scored two goals and they now have something to hang on to in the second half. Motherwell have been really poor. The boos are understandable. You can't dress it up any other way. But Hibs have been good. They've been in control. They have given nothing away at the back and they have been lethal at the other end. Junior Hoylett put them ahead in 26 minutes. It was actually the game's first shot on target. Nicky Cadney's been really good down the left. He threw in across to the back post. Motherwell keeper Aston Oxborough came out to punch it. He completely missed it. Hoylett, to be fair, had gambled at the back post and showed great composure. He just cushioned a volley in for a really nice finish. And then 38 minutes, it was 2-0. Nicky Cadden's corner again was flicked on by Ely Yuan. Jack Iredale, he tried to finish at the back post. Motherwell managed to block that effort, but Mikola Kuharevic was in hand to bundle the ball over the line from a couple of yards. Motherwell, as I said, have offered very little. Hibs keeper Jordan Smith, he doesn't look very confident, but he hasn't really had a save to make at all. The home fans are unhappy, but Hibs are chasing 3 points and could be about to come off bottom spot if they can hang on this time. Half time, Motherwell 0, Hibs 2.
We will get the half time story from Tannadice after these.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half-time scores in the Scottish Premiership: Celtic 5, Ross County 0, Kilmarnock 0, Dundee 0, Motherwell 0, Hibs 2. We didn't get the half-time story from Tannadice before the break, so let's speak to Dave Galloway now.
Half-time, Dundee United 0, St Mirren 0. Sam Dalby missed a golden chance to score early on for the hosts. He powered in on goal from a ball over the top, but from around 8 yards he blasted wildly over the bar. There was controversy when Saints forward Toyosi Olusanya was cleared out by Jack Walton, who'd raced off his line and out of his penalty box, but the United keeper only got a yellow card, and that wasn't upgraded after VAR took a look. Play has been end to end, but neither goalie has been severely troubled, to be honest. Ryan Strain wasn't far away with a 25-yard curling free kick that went just wide, but the home side went even closer when Will Ferry played a nice 1-2 with Sam Dalby, charged down the left, but his shot from a tight angle hit the post. Saints have seen plenty of the ball in this first half, but haven't posed too much danger. However, Scott Tanzer's powerful drive, which was on target, was cleared behind for a corner kick. It's goalless at the interval. Dundee United 0, St Mirren 0.
I'll give you some selected half-time scores from the Scottish Cup third round. Banks of Dee 0, Hamilton 2, Cowdenbeath 0, Brechin 1, Edinburgh City 0, Dunfermline 1, Elgin 1, Kelty 0, Forfar 1, Stirling Albion 2, Fraserburgh 2, Annan 0, Stenhousemuir 1, Irvine Meadow 0, Linlithgow Rose 0, Raith Rovers 1, Livingston 2, Brora 0, Montrose 2, Peterhead 1, Queen's Park 2, Partick Thistle 1. We'll bring you the second halves next.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.